Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Dalad Pasuk Tesvad Leilinishmas Betzalel Tzvi Ben Moshe Yitzchak. I was at a Nach Iyun Yomi this past week, which was tremendous, up at SAR in Riverdale, and I went to a panel on Amos, a Navi who we will meet in Treyasar, and the Magid Shir, Rabbi Yitzchak Et Shalom, who is from L.A., and the author of a forthcoming book on Amos, said a fascinating thing to me. He said, all the Nevi'im that you can name, that we know the names of, all of the Nevi'im batted zero. They all struck out. They had zero success with the people in terms of getting them to do tshuva and turn back. And yet, that's what it means to be a Navi, is failure. Except, of all people, Yonah. Yonah managed to have to bat 1,000 to get everybody to hear. He only said 5 words. You know? In a certain number of days, Hashem is going to destroy Nineveh. But the problem is, Yonah batted 1,000 with, of all people, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, Ashur. So, you bat 1,000 with non-Jews. You bat 0 with Jews. And so, in a terrible passage, Vayanu es Yirmiyahu kol hanashim hayodim. So, Yirmiyahu was answered by all of the men who knew, ki mekatros nesheihem le'elohim acherim, that their wives were burning incense to other gods. So some men did not know that their wives were secretly burning incense to other gods. Other men knew and approved and were okay with it. This is the Malbin's pshat. V'chol anashim ha'omdos kahal gadol, and all of the women standing in a great assembly, and there weren't that many people to make a great assembly, but Rabbi Breuer is beside himself. The women succeeded in bending their husbands to their will. Their influence had become so overriding that even those men who initially had been uninvolved had yielded to them. And that's v'chol ha'amah yoshem beretz Yisrael b'fasros. All of the rest of the men who lived in Pasros. Lamor, and they said the following. We are told, says Rabbi Breuer, the prophet's words were answered by the men who knew their wives were being mekatros, and the woman who stood in a great gathering, all the people who lived there. So everybody. But the fact is, the woman who stood around in a great gathering did all the talking. They had lost every trace of that modesty and reticence which had once been the crowning ornament of the Jewish woman, quote Bas Melech Panima. So this is not to single out the women as being worse than the men. It's to show how far that the idolatrous feeling had pervaded, that it had become part of the family structure and part of the intimate relationships of Klal Yisrael that had kept us going in Mitzrayim. The women were who saved us in Mitzrayim by trying to make sure that the generations continued. Rus and Esther and the great heroines, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, the great heroines who ensured continuity of the Jewish people are all women. And yet here, the women are ensuring diverting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tezayin hadavar asher dibarto eleinu b'shem Hashem, einenu shomim eilecha. The word that you have spoken to us in the name of God, we are not going to listen to it. How much more blatant can you be? We refuse to listen. They deny his evidence. They refuse to admit that the calamity of their idolatrous practices had brought about all this disaster. How do we know that? Yudzayin ki aso na'aseh eschol hadavar asher yotza mipinu. Because we will do everything that emanated from our mouths that we want to do, lekater lemelechas hashamayim, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, v'haseich lo nesachim, and pour libations to her, kasher osinu anachnu v'avosenu melachenu v'sarenu, just as we did, and our forefathers did, and our kings, and our leaders, v'arei Yehuda b'chutzos Yerushalayim. Wow! Kol sason v'kol simcha, v'arei Yehuda b'chutzos Yerushalayim. And we were burning incense and pouring libations to the Queen of Heaven. The Nisba Lechem, Vaniya Tovim. And in those days, we were satiated with bread. We had plenty to eat. And we were well. We did fine. V'ra'a lo ra'inu. And wickedness, evil, never was seen by us. Yuchesu min az chadalnu l'katerum lechaz ha'shamayim. And take their evidence. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour nesachim libations for her, we have lost everything. We have nothing anymore. And we have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And so therefore, based on our evidence, that now everything is terrible because we stopped bringing incense to Avodah Zarah, to the Queen of Heaven. Well, now we're going to bring incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour nesachim libations out to her. Hamibala de anoshenu asinu la kavanim lahatzava. After all, did we make cakes in her image without our husbands? Uvehaseich la nesachim. And to pour out libations for her. So, what we're going to do, regardless of whether our husbands approve or not, we make cakes in the shape of stars, the Mepharshim say, for this Queen of Heaven deity that they are worshiping. And what do you want? You want our husbands to divorce us because we are terrible people? Well, we don't care. Our husbands support us. They're on our side. Terrifying. So why is this so terrifying? So let me read you something that I saw on Shavuos. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has a book called Ceremony and Celebration, which is about Yom Tovim. And I was reading on Shavuos, different things about Shavuos, and very, very nice. We're learning about Talmud Torah, we're learning about Shavuos, about a people of freedom, all the stuff Rabbi Sachs talks about. And then all of a sudden, boom, pops up this passage right before I'm thinking about moving forward into Perek Mem Dalet of Yirmiyahu. And he says, the problem is, the story we read in Tanakh of the centuries in which the Israelites were in possession of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm sorry, we'll go over time, but this is unbelievable, worth reading. From the time of Yehoshua to the Babylonian conquest is not a happy one. Time and again, the people find themselves drawn to local gods and pagan practices. This goes hand in hand with political corruption, the abuse of power, sharp practices in business, and mistreatment of the poor. To be sure, there are reforming kings, Asa Yehoshaphat, Chizkiah, Yehoshiah, but the impression we received is their efforts, however well-intentioned, were too little, too late. Repeatedly in the narrative of the kings of Israel and Yehuda, we read the verdict, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The overriding question that comes to mind is, why did the people so often ignore the warnings of the prophets, the teachings of Moshe, the lessons of their own history? It should be obvious from every syllable of Jewish history, the Nevi'im say, that faith and fate, loyalty and liberty go hand in hand. Yet the people continue to ignore the message. Ironically, one of the few instances of Tanakh where a whole people heed the word of a Navi is Yonah, but he's talking to Ashur. Why was it so hard to persuade the people idolatry was their weakness, and faith in the God of Abraham and the covenant of Sinai is their strength? Because we are seeing history with hindsight. We have read the book. We know how it ends, but at the time, it did not seem that way at all. One passage sheds light on the whole era of Israel's kings. In the book of Yirmiyahu, the Navi had been warning the people they face disaster. They will be conquered by Babylonians. National catastrophe will be the result. So it happened. Yehuda and Yerushalayim lay in ruins. So again, he addresses the people, begging them to finally acknowledge their error and return to God. But defiantly, the people refuse. In our psukim, we're going to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out libations. As far as the people are concerned, as long as they serve idols, the Queen of Heaven was probably Ishtar, the Mesopotamian goddess of fertility, love, and war. As long as they served idols, they prospered. When they stopped doing so, possibly the reforms of Yoshiyahu, they began to suffer. We need to let those words sink in. There is no immediate short-term correlation between faithfulness to God and national success in the arena of history. That is the problem. Yerovam II, we met him in Melachim, was one of the northern kingdom's most successful kings. He reigned for 41 years. He restored the boundaries of Israel. And yet he did evil in the eyes of Hashem, perpetuating the sins of his namesake, Yerovam ben Nevat. Menashe, the son of Chizkiah, reversed the religious reforms of his father, reintroduced idolatry into the kingdom, leading the people astray so they did more evil than the nations Hashem had destroyed. He shed innocent blood, yet he ruled apparently successfully for 55 years, while his grandson Yoshiyahu, one of Tanakh's most righteous kings, died prematurely in battle. A contemporary observer would understand why Yirmiyahu was unheeded and why people resented the bad news he brought. Only in retrospect does the truth of a prophet's words become apparent. There is a technical name for this phenomenon, the J-curve effect, which says the result of any necessary correction to a trend, whether devaluing currency, a revolution against repression, the correction will initially be negative and only subsequently be positive. Things get worse before they get better. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos tells us that the wicked grow like grass, the righteous like a tree. In the short term, evil, grass, flourishes, but not in the long. The essence of prophecy that it is long term. While others are at ease, the prophet sees the coming cataclysm. While others are traumatized and grief-stricken, the prophet sees the distant consolation. The prophet will always be at a disadvantage vis-a-vis the large cast of false prophets and flatterers who tell rulers what they want, not what they need to hear. This reply of the people to Yirmiyah was, within its own terms, devastating. If you are looking for an immediate correlation between sanctity and success, repentance and reward, you will look in vain. That is the fact with which Israel's prophets wrestled for most of their lives. Bad things happen to good people while evildoers flourish. That troubled Yirmiyahu and Iov and all who sought to discern God's justice through the mists of history and circumstance. So on Shavuos, this is a massive lesson. But to us, learning Yirmiyah Be'ion, this reply is unthinkable and yet completely comprehensible. And these people are driving themselves towards their own graves because they say, when I sin, I prosper. And when I do Avodah Zarah, I make money and I have bread. And when I listen to Hashem, they call me Jew and they put up protests against me and they raise their fists and punch me. There was a graduation in Gravesend right near where I live last week, where a Jewish boy was called up for the graduation, and after the graduation was over, the family was beaten by pro-Palestinian protesters and presumably people of either that descent or people who believe Jews are at fault for everything. So why should I be Jewish if it causes so much grief? And this is what they tell the Navi in his last words to them and in their last words to him. It is truly tragic. And I'm sorry for going so far over time, but Rabbi Sachs really puts it together in a nutshell.